Well, over the last few weeks, we've been studying three words: faith, hope, and love. And 2 weeks ago, we finally got to the word love, and we defined what it is. And we looked at predominantly 1 Corinthians 13. And you might want to just open that up and stick your finger in there, because it's a good chapter to know. We're not going to read specifically from that until we get toward the end of the message. But it's an important chapter because it tells us what love is and how it works. And then last week we talked about love applied. And we looked at Jesus and how he went about loving people, some of them pretty unlovely, and how he demonstrated for us love and how to apply it to our lives. This week, we're going to talk about love begins. Where does it start? What do we do to start to love those around us? And so I'd like us to take a look in a mirror, so to speak, at ourselves. And then, once we have an idea of what we are, I would like us to look at Jesus and say, now, how do I compare? What does it take to get from what I am now to what Jesus was and is? Where do I begin? Our first text this morning comes from John 3, starting at the 16th verse. If you want to follow along in your pew Bibles, it's page 1052. It's the Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, fourth book in the New Testament, the third chapter. The first part of it's a very familiar verse, but it goes on from there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. The first thing that we see here is that Jesus was sent into the world for a purpose. That purpose was driven by God's love. So let me ask a question. If Jesus came for a purpose, why are you here? Why did God make you and put you here? What is your purpose? And since Jesus' purpose was driven by love, is it possible that that's your purpose as well? God loved you. He loved me. He loved our families so much that he put us here to care for them. You suppose that's a possibility? Do you suppose that God loved the people of this community so much that he sent you to be part of the group that is his hands and his feet and his voice in this community, his church? If that's the case, maybe that's where we begin. What many did not understand when they look at the church is that the church is not here to condemn them. And the people in the church are not here to condemn them. As a matter of fact, Jesus, as we just read, did not come to earth to condemn people. And so when people look at the church and the people in it, they say, well, that's a bunch of hypocrites. They just tell us what we shouldn't do. Well, yeah, we try to help them understand what they shouldn't do. More importantly, we try to help them understand what they should do. But we do not, and we cannot, we do not have the authority to condemn people. We do have the responsibility to judge carefully. And let me tell you what judge means. Judge does not mean condemn. Judge means to make a good, reliable decision. And so we start, the beginning, is we look at ourselves and we make a good, reliable decision about ourselves. And we say, do I measure up to what God wants me to be? Now notice, there's nothing condemning in that judgment. It's just looking at facts and saying, nope, I don't make it. But it's a judgment, and we're called to do that. And we look at one another as we get to know one another. Let me get my tongue untangled. We look at one another, and we are called to judge one another that way. We make a reliable, careful decision. What does that person need from me? What is it in their life that could use some help from me? And based on that judgment, we should do those things that Jesus did. Have compassion. Be helpful. Be forgiving. Remember we prayed that prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors? Actually, do you dare pray that prayer? God, forgive me in the same way that I forgive everybody around me. Oh, do you remember saying that this morning? Yeah, we did, didn't we? Most of us. You see, God calls us to judge our situations, but not to condemn. And so last week we had those stories that Jesus met with evil people, sinners. And he met them with compassion. And he left it up to God to condemn if necessary. But what about condemnation? We just read about it. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved, because it needs saving. The world is already condemned. That's our natural state. If we continue on as we are, well, we're condemned. And it's our own fault if we don't take advantage of the salvation that God offers us. Remember it said, God sent his Son that whosoever believes on him might not perish but have everlasting life. And who's in charge of what you believe? Am I in charge of what you believe? No, I can tell you what I think you ought to believe. But it's entirely up to you what you decide to do. Now, as we read on through that little passage, it started to talk about light and darkness. And it said in there that those that are evil love darkness. And I want to give you a practical example of how that's true. Tell me, and you don't have to answer out loud, but when do most crimes happen? Usually during the night, right? When it's dark. When does most drinking happen? Mostly during the dark. Where does it happen? In brightly lit halls and where everybody's watching? Not usually. In darkened rooms and dim lights. How many people do you know, well, let's face it, that you know are not really the best people? And where are they spending their night hours? Are they out enjoying the nightlife? Yep. And then when it gets light in the morning, where are they? Sound asleep. And the sun comes up, and you have a beautiful, gorgeous day, time to do things and to help people and go places and be what you can be. And what are they up to? Wasting the time that God's given them. Because they love darkness. And they do those deeds that God says, I don't want you doing those things. Come into the light, where people could see that the good deeds you're doing are God's will. Live your life in the light. That's why we sang those songs this morning with the kids. This Little Light of Mine and Heavenly Sunshine. And we talk about the light of Jesus. You see, when there's light, you see. And when it's dark, you don't see. So now, whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Does this describe you? Have you begun to do that? Well, let's turn to Matthew 5. It's page 958 in the Pew Bibles. We're going to start at the 16th verse. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. I think this passage kind of lays it out for us. We're called to live as Christians. We're called to live as examples. We're called to live where people can see the good works that we're doing. Not to build us up and say, wow, that's a wonderful person. But that, what does it say? They may glorify the Father who is in heaven. See, there's your purpose. God sent you in love because he loved you. And because he loved your family. And he wanted you to do those things that fit with his plan, that glorify him. So he's calling us to let your light shine. In other words, be noticeable. What happens when it's dark and there's a light? You see it, right? And so in this dark world, let your light shine. Now, did you notice that it says, therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commandments and teaches others accordingly will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. Notice that disobeying or minimizing the law of God doesn't necessarily ban you from heaven. You see, obeying the law isn't going to get you there. It's that believing and accepting Jesus that gets you to heaven, that brings you into the presence of God. And so even though we sin, and we do, that doesn't banish us from heaven. It just kind of lowers your rating, so to speak. You'll be there if you're a child of God, if you believe in Jesus, but you'll just be one of the least in heaven. But when you let your light shine, when you build up God's kingdom, what does it say? Whoever practices and teaches these commandments will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. You see, your actions are important. The works that you do are important. Not for salvation. But God pays attention. And God created us to live. He didn't create us to go to heaven. He's got angels. He created us to live. If you read the Old Testament, you'll notice that some of those people lived a long time. I really believe that God intended for mankind to live on earth forever. But remember in the Garden of Eden when they sinned? God said, we got to drive them out of the garden unless they eat from the tree of life and live in this sinful condition forever. So he drove them out. And then after the flood, he said, now man's days are going to be 80 years. Somewhere around then. Give or take a bit. Because God in his mercy said, they're sinful. They're fallen. I don't want them to have to live in that mess for so long. And so he said, for those that are mine, I'm going to take them and bring them to heaven with me. Isn't that wonderful? But he doesn't force us. Just like with Adam and Eve, he says, you have a choice. So, Matthew 6, verse 20 and 21 says this, But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So he's talking about the things that we value here, and the deeds that we do. And he says, when you're doing these good things, you're laying up treasures for yourself in heaven. Remember, when you don't do them, you'll be least in the kingdom. When you do them, you're laying up treasure. You're building up your status, if you will, in heaven, the rewards. Now, listen to this, what Jesus says. This is in Luke 9. It's page 1026. Luke 9, verse 23 to 26. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. Now, that's a loaded statement, but let me go on. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet lose or forfeit their very self? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory, and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Whoever will be my disciple will take up their cross daily and follow me. First of all, when we say take up your cross, what does that mean? You've heard people say, oh, that's the cross I must bear. The cross refers to the sacrifices, the persecution, the awful things that happen to us because we are Christians. The cross you bear has nothing to do with the daily problems in life that you get yourself into. Everybody gets into those. That has nothing to do with the cross. The cross is what you get because you're Christian. Second thing about that verse says, take up your cross. That means that the cross is something that comes to you because you choose to be a Christian. You choose to live that life. Therefore, you bear that burden and the results of being a Christian. And thirdly, it says, take up your cross daily. Not just on Sunday mornings for an hour and a half. Or maybe also Sunday evening when you come here once a month for prayer. Take up your cross. Voluntarily pick up those burdens that become yours because you believe in Jesus and you're willing to stand up for him every day. And lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Because God's paying attention. So, where does all of this begin? Where does love begin? Well, let me remind you what love is. And if you looked up 1 Corinthians 13 and you stuck your finger in there, it says this. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. Love never fails. And so it begins. And now there abides faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Let's pray together. God, help us to love. In your word, you tell us that you are love. It's one of your attributes. It's what you are. It also teaches us that we are depraved or evil. It's what we are. And so we need for you to fill us with yourself, with your spirit. Fill us up with love so that it overflows to those around us. Help us to care for one another. Help us to look at all of these things in 1 Corinthians 13 and become those attributes. Draw us close to you and make us your own. In Jesus' name, amen.